Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? The most powerful computer on Earth is your brain. That's right. The human brain processes about 100 billion neurons with roughly 1 quadrillion, that's a million billion connections, known as synapses, that wire these cells together. Neurons each act like a relay station for electrical signals. The heart of each neuron is called a soma, a single, thin, cable-like fiber known as the axon that sticks out of the soma carries the nerve cells away from the neuron, while many shorter branches, called dendrites, project from the end of the soma, carry the nerve signals to the neuron. Now catch this. According to scientists at the University of North Carolina, it appears these super microscopic dendrites are more than just passive wiring, but each fiber is a computer in itself, processing information. This means that the human brain is much more powerful than first believed. In fact, if the human brain was a computer, it could perform 38,000 trillion operations per second. The world's most powerful man-made computer, the IBM BlueJeans, which is a whole room full of superprocessors, can manage only 0.2% of what one human brain can do in a second, making it about half as complex as the brain of a mouse. Did you know the Bible says that God created man a little lower than the angels? Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist Pastor Doug Batchelor. Is understanding God's Word a challenge? Are there passages of Scripture that are a mystery to you? Maybe it's difficult to reconcile what you've read in the Bible to what you've always believed. If you have Bible-related questions, stay tuned to get honest, practical answers straight from the Word of God on Bible Answers Live. Bible Answers Live is a production of Amazing Facts Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Our lines are open, so call us now at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, here's your host, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Hello, listening friends. Welcome to Bible Answers Live. And if you have a Bible question, that's what this program is all about, just give us a call. The number is 800-GOD-SAYS. We've got lines open right now. Just pick up the phone, call in with your Bible question, or if you have a question about the Christian life, we don't have all the answers, but we'll search together. That number one more time, 800-463-7297. Call now. Good chance you'll get your question on tonight's program. 800-463-7297. My name is Doug Batchelor, and Pastor Jean Ross is out for the night. He's just heading back from a training program up in Canada. And we're going to begin, as we always do, with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the technology and the ability to just visit with friends around the country and the world to study the Word and seek to better understand the truth. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless every aspect of this program and help us to learn more about Jesus, who is the truth. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, listening friends, I'm always fascinated with the incredible power of the human brain. And it's even amazing what's being done with computers now. You know, we can't even, pardon the pun, but process all the processing that can happen in some of the modern computers. I understand that a simple Texas Instrument calculator had more processing power than all of the Apollo mission computers had when they launched and went to the moon. And it seems like it keeps growing exponentially every year. And then you think about how in the world could the human brain evolve to be able to comprehend and learn and store so much more than one person can even use in a lifetime. Nothing in evolution can ever explain that. It only goes to prove what the Bible says, that all of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. By the way, that's Psalms 139:14. God, when he made man, made him in his own image. And the human mind and what it's capable of doing and learning is just absolutely fantastic. God wants us to use our minds for his service, to worship him. And it says in Romans that as we follow him in chapter 12, that we turn away from the things of the world by the renewing of our minds. This is what it means to be born again. It's really something that happens not so much from the neck down as the neck up. It's a new way of thinking. And the Lord can give you that new mind and that new spirit when you come to Him. You can be a new creature and think differently. Instead of being controlled all the time by love for self and sin, you can be controlled by love for God. If you have any questions about that or any other Bible-related subjects, you can give us a call. Lines are open, 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. And we have a free offer tonight that talks about God's incredible creative power. And it's called Amazing Wonders of Creation. If you'd like a free copy of that, you can call our resource number. That's a different number. That's 800-835-6747. Or just go to amazingfacts.org and ask for the study guide or for the free book, Amazing Wonders of Creation. With that, we're going to go to the phones and start out talking with Jerry, who's calling from Medford, Oregon. Jerry, welcome to Bible Answers Live.
Thank you, Pastor Doug. I have a question for you. I'm looking at John 5, 28 and 29, and if I just could quickly read it.
Sure.
Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed evil deeds to the resurrection of judgment. And as we know, this is corroborated in Revelations, meaning the first bunch is to life and the second bunch is to judgment.
Right.
Now, my question pertains when I look back at Matthew, let's see here, 12:41, Jesus is talking to evidently a wicked bunch of people, and he says that the people of Nineveh will rise in judgment and condemn you because they responded to someone considerably less than I, meaning, of course,
they repented at the preaching of Jonah as opposed to the preaching of Jesus.
Right. So my question is, since these people of Nineveh are the only people, to my knowledge, that repented when they heard a prophet, and they were spared because they repented, why are they in the resurrection of judgment and not in the first resurrection?
Well, I think Jesus is just saying there is a great white throne judgment when Paul talks about all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, right? And so at the end of the 1,000 years, there is this great white throne judgment where Jesus said he'll separate the sheep from the goats. There is a part of the judgment when everybody who's ever lived will sort of meet. And, you know, we'll all be on the scene anyway. And Jesus says, in this great judgment, Matthew chapter, 25, verse 31, where he says he'll separate the sheep from the goats. And he'll say to one group on the right hand. So you've got the saved and the lost right there in the same judgment. Jesus is just saying those who repented and were converted by the preaching of Jonah, they'll be in that same judgment. And they'll say, how come you didn't believe the Son of God? We believed his messenger. We repented and we were, you know, pagans all of our lives and we believed the word of God. How come you didn't believe when God sent his own son? And so that's why Jesus is saying the people of Nineveh that repented at the preaching of Jonah, in that judgment where everybody is present. Yeah, there are two different resurrections, but after the second resurrection, the resurrection of all the wicked, the just are already alive, right?
Yes.
There's a resurrection of the just, the dead in Christ rise first, Paul says. So in this second resurrection, everybody's there before sentence is pronounced on the lost. That's the time I think Jesus is referring to.
So the first scripture I read where it differentiated between the resurrection to life and the resurrection to judgment.
Yeah, they're two different resurrections.
Yes, but other places in the Bible, it sounds to me you're saying that they refer to both resurrections as judgment.
Well, follow me. The word judgment, when we think of it, is not just like a court scene. The fact when Jesus comes and the dead in Christ rise first, right?
Yes.
That's a judgment. I mean, the very fact you're being raised means you're saved based on the merits of Christ. If you go up when Jesus comes, you've got it. You're home free. You don't have to worry about the white throne judgment because Christ is your representative there. If you're in the second resurrection, it's hopeless. That's called the resurrection of damnation. And that's why the Bible says in Revelation 20, blessed and holy are those that have part in the first resurrection. You know, there's a study guide that deals with this, and it's talking about 1,000 years of peace. It deals with the judgment, and I'd like to send you a free copy of that, Jerry, if you would just call the resource number, which is 800-835-6747, and ask for the study guide on facing the judge. We'll send that to you. And we've got a study guide also on the millennium. By the way, you can get this right now if you want to go to amazingfacts.org. There is a study guide on the judgment that just covers the whole thing there, and you'll enjoy that. Thanks for your call. We're going to keep moving here. I need to talk with next. Alan is calling from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Alan, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me. Well, I have actually two questions, but the first one is Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes on Ezra 6:14 the same person? That's my first question.
No. Well, you've named there's some of these kings. You're very perceptive, because if you're reading history, some of the kings had more than one name that they went by, and they're recorded by a couple of names. But okay. Artaxerxes is mentioned in the he's in the decree in Ezra chapter 7. Ahasuerus is a different king. He's the one in the book of Esther.
Okay, because I'd be reading Ezra, Esther, and Nicariah, and in Daniel chapter 9:1, it says Ezra's, it's Darius' father. So I look up that name to see what Ezra's means. It means Shexes in Persian. And if you go back to Esther chapter 1, it says that the man that Esther married was King Shexes. So that's why I asked.
Yeah, Xerxes.
Exactly.
That's one of the names for Ahasuerus, same person.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right there.
My question is, so we know that Darius, Ashaxes is the father of Darius, and my second question is, if we know that that's his father, is King Esther the mother of Darius?
No, because we believe that Ahasuerus had several children from his concubines. There's no record in history or the Bible he had any children with Esther. She is, now if you read the book of Nehemiah, for instance, Alan, in the book of Nehemiah, it talks about when Nehemiah was the cupbearer before the king, and I'm sure you're reading that also, it says the queen was sitting by him. That queen was Esther. So she was the queen, and how old she was at that point, we don't know. But that's part of the reason I think that he was favorable about sending Nehemiah with funds and an army to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, is because Esther was there in the palace still at that point. Anyway, you're asking some great but deep questions dealing with the names of these Persian kings. By the way, there were several kings by the name of Darius, just like, you know, we've had several kings with the name George, or I mean presidents with the name George here in America. So don't be thrown by that. Hey, thanks for your question, Alan. We're going to keep going here. We're going to talk with Scott. Scott, you probably don't know, you're on line number 5, but calling from Irvine, California. Welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you, Pastor Doug?
Doing good. How can we help you tonight?
I have two questions. One, how do you get completely filled up with the Holy Spirit? Is it by your diet not being defiled? And two, why do... how do you know if Lucifer or a demon is the angelic being that's messing with you? How do you know who it is?
All right. Well, first of all, the being filled with the Holy Spirit, taking care of your health, does certainly help you have a clear mind. Makes it easier for you to comprehend spiritual things. You know, it says in Daniel chapter 1 that Daniel didn't want to defile himself with the king's food. And a number of things in the Bible talk about fasting and praying. Part of the reason for fasting and praying was sort of clear your mind. You know, if a person is living like a glutton, the devil kind of keeps you in a food-induced stupor. So you've got to keep that in mind. So health is something, but ultimately you're not filled with the Holy Spirit by what you eat, because the kingdom of heaven is more than eating and drinking. It's emptying yourself before God and saying, you know, you're willing to do his will and listen to his voice. And By the way, before I forget, I do have a book I'd be happy to send you, and it's called The Holy Spirit, The Need. We'll send you a free copy of that if you'd like one. It's just called, and I wrote it, it's called The Holy Spirit, The Need. In other words, it's the need for the Holy Spirit. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? How are we filled? For one thing, surrendering. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came into his life. Peter said, repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As you walk in the will of the Lord, as it's revealed to you, you make it easier for the Holy Spirit to fill you. God gives a spirit, it says in Acts chapter 5, to those that obey him, because it's a power. So there's a number of things you'll find in this book, tips on how do you receive the Holy Spirit. What are the Bible verses that tell us in practical terms, what can we do to really avail ourselves of having God inside? So, and then your next question, was part of your question was also very important, Scott. How do we know when we're getting impressions that it's coming from God and not from the devil?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need to measure that by the word. You know, if you're getting impressions and you think this angel is impressing you to do something and it's telling you to go against the word of God, well, that would not be the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will never impress you to do something contrary to the Holy Bible. So it's got to go with the word, and you'll also have Christian counsel that will support it as well. So hope that helps a little, and send for that book. If you want to read the book, you can do that even online, and just go to amazingfacts.org, click where it says Bible resources, our study resources, and it's our free library. Got just gobs of great Bible study material there. And it's The Holy Spirit, The Need. Hope you enjoy that. If you want us to send you a copy, call the number 800-835-6747. Now, to call in with your Bible question tonight, we do still have a few lines open. That's a different number. You ready? 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297 brings your Bible question into the program. Thanks for your call, Scott. We're going to talk next with Emma, who's calling from Quincy, Illinois. Emma, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Good evening, and God bless you. I have two questions. The first one is, I was reading, wherever it is, about Zacchaeus, and he said he was a publican.
Uh-huh.
What is that? Was he a Jew? Was he a Gentile? What is
a publican was a job. It had nothing to do with your religion. It was a job that made you an outcast because, and the word public meant you're supposed to collect taxes from the publican, and that's the English, kind of an old English word for a tax collector. But what happened is when the Romans conquered a country, they would farm out contracts to some of the people from the country they conquered, to collect taxes from their own people. And they were obviously hated. So Zacchaeus, he would control the roads going in and out of Jericho, and anybody that was bringing merchandise in to sell or taking crops out, he'd say, based on the size of these crops and this merchandise, you owe this much in taxes. And they always were arguing with the tax collectors, and the tax collectors got very rich. You notice it says Zacchaeus was rich. They were the equivalent, not much different from the mafia that was controlling the trucking industry a number of years ago. Then the ship, you know, the shipyards, they kind of controlled people and said, look, you either pay up. And they gave a percentage of it to the Romans. And so they were hated. And these publicans, they hung out with the, it calls them prostitutes and harlots. So, you know, just the scoundrels and the ruffians of society all hung out with the publicans. Publicans had the money.
Okay.
Matthew Levi was a publican.
And the other question is, the next big event, I know people are looking for signs of, you know, the
Jesus return,
Sunday laws and all this.
Yeah.
There's a big, next big event we should be looking for is the coming of Christ. In Matthew 24, you know, Christ kind of names it in Revelation, there's an earthquake, and will that happen before the second coming of Christ?
Well, of course, Jesus said there'll be earthquakes and there'll be wars all along the way. There have been wars and earthquakes all through history. But what happens is as you near the end of time, kind of like a woman's labor pains, the intensity goes up and they get closer together. And what's happening is we are seeing more earthquakes, it seems, and volcanoes and these things, tsunamis. I mean, we just in the last 10 years had several major tsunamis that were of kind of apocalyptic proportions between what happened in Indonesia and China, and Japan, rather. And there's just the problems are compounding as we near the end of time. And there's also good things happening. Jesus said before he comes back, the gospel will go into all the world. And now, because of, you know, programs like this and the internet and you know, missionaries going everywhere and DVDs and satellite television, I was in Australia, just the other side of the world, about a month ago, and out in the middle of the outback, I was ministering with Aborigines out there, and they were running into our programs on the internet. They had the internet from satellites. So there's almost nowhere in the world. Jesus said, the gospel will be preached in all the world. This is Matthew 24, 14. Then the end will come. He didn't say it might come. He says it shall come. And so the gospel is going. He didn't say everyone would believe, but then the end would come. So, yeah, we're going to see an increase, and there'll be more political pressure to control what people believe. We're seeing that happen in the world today, and that's why we want to get ready and stay ready. Thank you, Emma, for your question. By the way, we do have a study guide that talks about the second coming of Jesus, and we'll be happy to send that to you. It's called Anything But Secret. You can either call, get a free copy, and that's 800-835-6747, and that's the resource line, or you can go to amazingfacts.org. And that does free up another line. Appreciate your call, Emma. And that number, if you'd like to call in with your Bible question, have some lines open now. 800, God says, are you ready? 800-463-7297. With that, we're going to jump over and talk to Patrick, who's calling from Queens, New York. Welcome to the program, Patrick. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good evening. This is Pastor Ross and Pastor Doug.
Well, Pastor Ross is out for the night. This is Pastor Doug, so I've only got 50% of the brains here right now.
Okay, sir. Yeah. All right. My question, I'm going to make it quick, about the Sabbath day and in the Old Testament where the Bible speaks of, you know, it will be a sign between God and the Israelites. And and we also know that the fourth commandment there, the Sabbath day commandment, it never refers much in the New Testament, and you have all the other commandments are referring in the New Testament. So God said to the Israelites, then this is between me and you, you know, and so why is it we working so hard to keep the Sabbath when we are resting in Christ?
Well, the spirit of the law, you asked a common question, that's okay. The spirit of the law is we rest in Christ, and the Sabbath is a sign of that. When you keep the spirit of the law, you don't eliminate the letter of the law. The spirit of the law says that you should not be angry with your brother, but of course you don't break the Ten Commandments and murder him either. The spirit of the law says that you don't think about adultery in your heart, but the letter of the law says you don't commit it either physically. And if on the second chapter of the Bible, in the seventh day of the week, the first seventh day, God establishes the Sabbath. That's why Jesus says the Sabbath is made for man. He doesn't say the Sabbath is made for Jews. So, and you do find the Sabbath, it's a common mistake. People say, well, the Sabbath's not repeated in the New Testament. You know, it was probably one of the most controversial things Jesus dealt with. Jesus was always trying to explain how to keep the Sabbath. He never said, don't keep it. He never said it'll be done away with. In fact, when the disciples put his body in the tomb, the sun was going down. They couldn't finish embalming his body before sundown, and they didn't want to break the Sabbath. It says they just closed the tomb, and they left, and they said, we'll come back Sunday morning after the Sabbath to finish caring for his body. So obviously, Jesus taught the disciples that the Sabbath was still important, and then it's mentioned again in Acts 13, and Acts 16, and Hebrews 4. This all through the New Testament, and it's never do they say it's done away with, and never do they say there's a new Sabbath day on a different day of the week. So more and more Christians from all different denominations are learning that the Ten Commandments, while they do not save us, are still in effect. So does that make sense, Patrick?
Yes, that makes sense. And also, what I wanted to find out, though, from you, and you're a better Bible scholar than I am, much. So do you believe that, like, let's say the Pentecostal people and maybe other church, maybe the Lutherans, or would they be saved even if they didn't worship on a particular day? You know, like
well,
for instance, you know.
Let me set your heart at ease. There are going to be people in my church that will not be in kingdom, and they know about the Sabbath. And there are going to be people in many other denominations that may not know the Sabbath truth that will be in heaven. Nobody's saved by keeping the Sabbath any more than anyone is saved by not stealing. We're not saved by keeping any law. Is that right? We're saved by grace. But the question is, when we are saved, do we want to obey? There are going to be people in heaven. Keep this in mind, Patrick. King David had several wives. He'll be in heaven, right?
Yes.
All right, well, now if I get extra wives, do you think I'm going?
Probably not.
Because I know better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so Abraham had slaves. He'll be in heaven. Mm-hmm. He lived in a time where God winked at their ignorance. That's what it says in Acts 17, at the times of ignorance God winked at. But now he commands men everywhere to repent. Sin is knowing to do good and not doing it. So when we know the truth, whether that truth is about marriage or the Sabbath or slavery or any of these things, he wants us to follow the truth. And so, you know, if we know that, you know, God has not changed the Ten Commandments, he didn't give us a 10% discount. It's still all 10. He has them as a complete whole. The Sabbath, yes, it was for Israel, but the Bible also says the Messiah was for Israel. That's Jesus. So, I mean, are we going to get rid of everything that God had for Israel? So, yeah, I think that it's really clear that the, you know, the Ten Commandments are a complete package, and people hear us talking about the Sabbath on this program not because we believe that we're saved more by the Sabbath than any other commandment. We just believe we need to be consistent as Christians, and not call them the Nine Commandments from now on. They never stopped being the Ten. Nothing in the Bible tells us that God has done away with the Fourth Commandment, or replaced it with another day. There's no commandment to keep Holy Wednesday or Sunday or any other day. So it's only the seventh day. And I don't like harping on any one part of the Bible. I just think that if we're going to be Bible Christians, and the Bible is the bottom line, it's the final word, then we need to go by what the Word says. By the way, we do have an offer on that. Or better yet, go to the website, Patrick, sabbathtruth.com. sabbathtruth.com, lots of information there. You're listening to Bible Answers Live. And with that, friends, in a moment we're going to take a break. We do still have lines open. Call 800-463-7297. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment. I want to remind everybody that if you enjoy this program, you know, we principally do this live on Sunday night. We know there's a number of stations that rebroadcast the program. I had someone in France that told us they were listening to the program in France, and others in Switzerland. So the program is all around the world. But if you want to see Amazing Facts programming, TV, and the audio, you can simply go to AFTV. We are on television 24 hours a day. It's on G19 and some other downlink stations, AFTV. And it's real easy, amazingfacts.tv. I got it wrong. AmazingFacts.tv will take you to our TV channel, and you can watch the programming 24 hours a day. You can also pick your favorite programs and bring them up and watch them. And everyone knows about YouTube. Lots of Amazing Facts programs there. Don't let the music fool you. Program's not over yet. I'm going to get a drink of water. We'll be back with your Bible questions in just a moment.
Bible Answers Live will return in just a moment. If you're looking for Bible-based materials for further study, sign up for Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course, or check out our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry, operating exclusively through the generosity of your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. You're listening to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you have a Bible-related question, call us now to receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. We have a few lines open, so please give us a call. The phone number to the studio is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747.
We're back listening, friends. This is Bible Answers Live, and if you have a Bible question, you can call in with your question. It's a free phone call, 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. My name is Doug Batchelor. Pastor Jean Ross is coming back this weekend from a training program up north, and if you have a Bible question, you can give us a call. We're going to go right back to the lines, and let me think. We're talking next to John, who's calling from New Jersey. John, welcome to the program.
Doug, Pastor Doug.
Yes.
Hey, Don. Love your program. I have a question. This is definitely Bible-related to me.
Okay.
How could we prove Jesus Christ never copied from people before him, because people claim that other people rose from the dead in 3 days and cast miracles, and you must have heard them claims.
Yeah, so some people were saying they're saying that Jesus was somehow copying others who had lived before him. Well, you know, for one thing, because the devil knows that the Messiah was coming. He didn't know exactly how or when, but the devil knew that God would come into the world. That prophecy was way back there in Genesis chapter 3. And so Satan has a counterfeit for every truth of God. And there were many false messiahs before Jesus. Jesus said in the last days there are going to be other false Christs, and that's in Matthew 24, Mark 13. And there were false Christs before Jesus. You can read in the book of Acts when the religious leaders got together, they said, well, there have been a number of other false teachers that came, and when they died, their followers dispersed. And so, you know, just because someone says there's false Christs out there doesn't mean that you question the Bible. The teachings and what Jesus said is so profound. He's, you know, the most quoted author in history. And you think about it, he only had 3.5 years where anything he said was recorded. He didn't even write anything. I think the only time he wrote was on the dust of the temple floor when Mary Magdalene was caught in adultery. But other than that, Jesus didn't write. It was his witnesses and that chronicle, the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the ones who chronicled what he did in his life. And it's supported by history. You can even read the writings of the Jewish historian Josephus. And he said Jesus really lived and he did many wonderful works and that he performed miracles. So, you know, if we're going to believe anything about history, we'd need to believe that Jesus and the Bible are real because of all the testimony of so many writers. There's more written about the Bible than there is about Jesus than there is about Alexander the Great, and no one ever questions, did he actually live? So I don't think we should question the reality of Christ. By the way, John, we do have a study book that talks about the Bible, and it's called The Ultimate Resource. We'll send you a free copy. Also, if you go to the Amazing Facts website, the first of our study guides that deals with the subject of the Bible, you'd really be blessed by that. And all you have to do is go to amazingfacts.org and download that study guide. Is there anything left you can trust? It'll tell you all the reasons you know you can trust the Bible. Thanks for your call. With that, we're going to move on, talk with Derek, calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Derek, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Hi, Pastor Doug. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
My question is, I've read, you know, how Adam and Eve never experienced kind of death, and then they made the robe or the, you know, the aprons out of the plant material, and it kind of died.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of were saddened by that. But I'm perplexed because, okay, I made a garden this summer with my kids, and we made pumpkins, and I was looking at the flowers and they pop up beautifully, and then they wilt, and then fruit comes. How was there fruit in the Garden of Eden, you know, with flowers there?
Unless the flowers died.
Yeah, they need to die to make fruit. I mean, that's kind of how it works.
Well, first of all, know that the Bible tells us something radical changed with the environment. Because for one thing, it says after sin, not only did things begin to die, but you ended up with thorns and thistles and, you know, weeds. Some kind of amalgamation and changes came across the creation. I think there's things that happened in the process of food and fruit and trees and vegetation that we just don't understand now, because the whole environment was damaged, really, in some way by sin. So, you know, for instance, do you know why the thorns on a rose or a cactus hurt? Because the end of it dies. In other words, if the spines on a cactus never died, they would feel like fur. They'd be soft. But because they die, they hurt. And
was it like bark?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know what. This is just a theory. I'm just saying that I think death changed things. Flowers may have opened up, produced fruit, closed again, and reopened. I mean, they may have folded back and come back again. I don't know how God would have done it. But something changed. Now, even before sin, we know that there is sort of a natural cycle that God created that is marvelous, how humans and mammals and creatures, we inhale oxygen and we exhale carbon. And the plants inhale the carbon and exhale oxygen. And what drops from the trees, we eat. And the waste from humans and animals becomes fertilizer for the trees. I mean, there's this incredible symbiotic relationship between the animals and the plants. Somehow that still existed before sin, but it happened in a way that was where there was no death or pain. And you can still see...
It's kind of a mystery.
It is. Well, there are plants and flowers in South America where the flowers, they continue to bloom for long, you know, they'll bloom for months. And because the climate's always temperate. So things changed, and I don't know. It'll be interesting to get there. Just know, Paul said, the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So when we think we can understand heaven, just know it's better than we can comprehend, because it's so different from our world.
Mm-hmm.
I promise, get there, you won't be disappointed. I promise. All right, hey, I thank you for your call, Derek. We do have a study guide that talks about, well, our offer tonight, Amazing Wonders of Creation. We'll send you a free copy of that. That number is 800-835-6747. Anybody that wants a copy of that, call the resource line. For your question, call the question line, 800-463-7297. All right, thank you, Derek. Going to talk with Jill, who's calling from Medford, Oregon. Jill, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question. In the Bible, where it says the church should take care of widows, do you think that that was also of perhaps women who were unable to marry?
Well, in Bible times, your only source of income was your children when you got older. Your children would take care of you. That was part of honoring your father and mother, is you showed respect as they got old, as they got feeble. You cared for them. You took care of them. You loved them. You helped them until they passed on. They had no social security. Your family was your social security. So if a woman, and a lot of the work that was done in farming and producing was just backbreaking work, and women couldn't do it all. It was a very rough life. And if a woman lost her husband and she had no children, there's a couple of stories where women came to Solomon and David for judgment because they said, you know, they're going to lose their children and they would have nothing. The church would especially help them. You'll notice in the book of Acts, when they finally ordained the deacons, you know why they ordained the deacons? Is because some of the widows felt like they weren't being taken care of in the distribution of funds to help support them. Now, if a woman today never marries, she, in America anyway, she's not going to be quite as destitute as when I've been to India and other parts of the world where they don't have these social programs. So some of that's different, but I do think that You know, in our church, we've got programs where men will sometimes come by, or the teenagers will come by and try and help the families, seniors and so forth, with yard work or mechanic work. And that's part of being a church, is helping people that need help.
Yeah.
So are you wondering if someone unmarried would fit in the same category as a widow?
Okay, yeah, that was my question. I also have another question on the Sabbath, if I can.
Yeah, we'll see if it's a quick one.
Prayer is so important to greet the Sabbath with prayer. And at the end of this month, we are being particularly attacked, I guess you could say. Is there any way of organizing, is it too late to organize, a kind of worldwide hour of prayer at that?
Yeah, well, I think that doing just exactly what you're saying is, for one thing, getting on the internet is an amazing way to communicate a call to prayer. And some people do it with their Facebook page. And you can develop a network of friends and just call them all to prayer. And then don't underestimate the power of the prayers of one person. Now, the Bible says the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man, and that would also be a righteous woman, Jill, avails much. I've got a book. I'll send you a free copy, or you can read it online. It's your choice, anybody out there. It's called Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. That call-in number for the resource, 800-835-6747. And again, for your questions, it's 800-463-7297. Appreciate your call, Jill. Talking next with, is it Trey, who's calling from Huntsville, Alabama? Trey, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Hey, Doug, how are you?
Doing well.
All right. Well, I got a question on Moses, how he struck the rock twice. You know, Jesus told him to only speak to the rock, and he wasn't allowed in the promised land. Well, was it talking about the promised land, like the heavens, or, you know, just the promised land that Jesus provided?
Well, he was not allowed to physically lead the children of Israel. Joshua ended up doing it. Moses was hoping to be the one who would lead them over into the promised land and get them settled. In other words, he wanted to finish them on this long 40-year journey into the promised land. But because he basically lost his temper, he did not honor God, he and Aaron were feeling some pride, and they said, you know, you rebels, how long do we have to listen to you? Must we bring you water out of the rock? And instead of speaking to the rock as they had done before, he got mad and he struck it twice in anger. And he had a tantrum really before the people. And God said, Moses, you knew better. You've had a relationship with me where, you know, I expected more. And he says, because of that, you're not the one that's going to lead them into the promised land. But Moses did get to, God took him up on Mount Nebo. And before he died, well, actually, Moses climbed up to Mount Nebo. And before he died, God opened his eyes. And he could see, God showed him in vision, a panorama of the promised land, how beautiful it was, and reassured him that the people would get there. Now, we know Moses is in heaven, because when you go to the New Testament, in like Mark chapter 9, Moses appears to Jesus. So he's there now. No question about it.
Okay. So, I heard a pastor on the radio, and he was sitting there talking about the darkness or whatever. The utter darkness or whatever, is that was like a layer of heaven or something?
Well, it talks about the angels that are kept in everlasting chains of darkness, and the fallen angels it's talking about. But Moses is not in that darkness now. He's in heaven.
Okay.
So, hey, you know, I have a book I can send you on that subject that's called The Two Witnesses. It talks about Moses and Elijah, and they're appearing to Jesus. If you just call the resource line, 800-835-6747. Tell them you're listening to Bible Answers Live and that we just offered you that book called The Two Witnesses. We'll send it to you. Friends, you notice we're pretty generous with our material. We want to get the Bible answers in people's hands. Thank you for your call, Trey. With that, we're going to go move along and talk with Mark, who's calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. Mark, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Hi, Pastor.
Evening.
I have a quick question regarding one of the Ten Commandments that says we should honor our parents, our mother and father.
Uh-huh.
And also when I'm reading the Bible, I see that Jesus honored women because in Jesus' time, women were didn't have any value. Jesus valued women.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some people saying that we should not value anybody, including women. We should not honor anybody. We should not honor women. We should only honor God. What do you think about this?
Well, I think that we should show respect as Christians for everybody. Now, honoring your parents, obviously, it says honor not just your father, it says honor your mother, right? So there you got a man and a woman right in the commandment, honor your father and your mother. And so that's showing respect for your father and your mother, treating them with honor. And God says that your days will be long upon the land. And so, you know, there's actually a promise that goes with that command. It's interesting, Mark, I've been to a lot of countries in the world, and it seems like in some of the countries where they show the greatest respect for the elders, they live the longest. You know, in some of the places, like Japan has one of the longest life expectancies in the world. I think Okinawa is up there among one of the longest, and they also have great respect for their elders. God said, long will your days be on the land. So I don't know if I'm answering your specific question, but yeah, I think we should honor father and mother. Nothing wrong with showing respect to others. The Bible talks about showing honor to whom honor is due. And we're to, you know, we should respect those who have authority over us, the Bible tells us. And so, yeah, certainly including father, mother, whether they're men or women, we should show honor to whoever honor is due. Hey, thank you for your question, Mark. And we do have a study guide called Written in Stone that talks about the Ten Commandments and those principles. We'll send you a free copy. That's 800-835-6747. That does open up another line. If you want to call in with your Bible question, still have a few minutes left. 800, here's the call-in number. You ready? 800-463-7297. 463-7297. And with that, we're going to talk to Jane, who's calling in from San Diego. Jane, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you. I have a question about the three angels in Revelation 14. Like,
okay.
Where are we now?
Uh-huh.
Would you be able to?
You want
talk
me to explain
more about that?
Just all three of the angels. What that means?
Yeah.
Well, uh-huh. In Revelation 14, the reason, and this is a great question, Jane, the reason this is so important, it tells us in Revelation 14, these messages from these three angels go to the world, and then it says in chapter 14, then I saw in a white cloud and one sat like the Son of Man, meaning after these messages go to the world, Jesus comes. And so it's, and by the way, that's verse 14, it says, I look and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man. Jesus comes after these messages go. So what are the three messages? First message, and you can start with verse 6. It says, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those that dwell on the earth. All right? So we're to go and preach the gospel to the whole world. And it says, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Meaning we're living in the last age of the world. This is a time of judgment. Judgment must begin at the house of God, Peter says. There's a judgment that happens before Jesus even comes. And I think everyone kind of knows that, because if the Lord has already determined who's saved and lost when he comes, you know, the dead in Christ rise, they're caught up, the saved go up, the wicked are destroyed, some judgment happens before he comes. That's happening now. The world needs to know we're living in that hour. Second angel says, Babylon's fallen. Come out of Babylon. It's talking about the false religious systems of the world. And the third angel warns about, do not receive the beast. Don't worship the beast or receive the mark of the beast. Now, these messages are actually going to the world right now. And I've got good news for you, Jane. We have a study guide that has, it's completely dedicated to just the three angels' message. And it's called Angel Messages from Outer Space. And we'll send you
a free
copy of that. Would you like that? Angel Messages from Space. I know it sounds kind of like NASA, but it's really talking about these Bible messages. It's specifically on the three angels' messages that go to the world before Jesus returns. And if you just call the resource number, 800-835-6747, we'll send that to you. Anyone who wants to know about those three angel messages, that's 800-835-6747. We'll send it to you. Beautiful illustrated Bible study. Appreciate your call. Talking next with Marie, calling from Bismarck, North Dakota. Marie, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Good evening, Pastor Doug.
Evening.
I really appreciate your program. It helped me a lot.
Well, thank you.
The question I have tonight is, I'm going to different churches.
Uh-huh.
I go to one on Saturday and one on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have to obey the Ten Commandments by keeping the Sabbath.
Uh-huh.
And that other church that I go to on Sunday, when I go there, I really feel like comfortable. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. So my question is, that church I go to on Sunday believe in the oneness of God, that Jesus is the only God.
Right. They don't believe in the Trinity. They believe in...
They don't believe in Trinity. Exactly.
Right.
And that church I go to on Saturday believe in Trinity. So I'm kind of confused because...
You want to know if the Trinity is true.
Yes. There's passage in the Bible that prove that that Jesus is the only God. And there's also a passage in the Bible that talks about God the Father, Jesus Christ as the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Now look at the baptism of Jesus, Marie. When Jesus gets baptized in Matthew chapter 3, it says the heavens are open and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. Jesus comes up out of the water. He's on earth in the water. And a voice comes from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." Now, unless Jesus is talking to himself, who is the voice coming from heaven? That's got to be God the Father. And he's speaking to Jesus, God the Son. He's saying, "This is my Son." Not only that, you also see that happening in Mark chapter 9 when Jesus goes up the mountain. We referred to this earlier. And Moses and Elijah appear. And God, Jesus is there glorified. God says, "This is my Son. Hear him." Peter refers to this in, I think it's 2 Peter, where he said, "We were with him on the holy mount when we heard this voice from the Father." So, unless Jesus is playing games like a ventriloquist, like he's projecting his voice from other places, the Father and the Son are two different people. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you've also got, of course, in Genesis when God says, "Let us make man in our image." Now, when Jesus says, "My Father and I are one," and I know they use this verse.
Yes.
Make sure and use the verse the way Jesus uses the verse. Jesus said to the disciples, "I pray that you may be one, even as my Father and I are one." Now, when Jesus prayed the 12 apostles could be one, did he mean he wanted them to all squash together like a lump of clay and turn into one apostle? Or did he mean he wanted them to be united?
United.
So when Jesus says to the apostles in John 17, "I'm praying that you might be one as my Father and I are one." The Father and the Son are united. That's why Jesus said they're one. Husband and wife get married, they become what? One flesh. Doesn't mean they merge into one physical being. They're united now. And so the Bible uses the word one to talk about the unity of God, but it doesn't mean that the Father and Son lose their distinct personalities. They're unique persons. They're separate beings. So can I please send you my book? I've got a book called The Trinity, Marie. Send you a free copy. Matter of fact, I always like to tell people with the blessing of the internet now, you can just go read it right now for free. And we'll either send you a copy, call that number 800-835-67, and ask for the book on the Trinity. Or, again, go to amazingfacts.org, and you'll have a book right there. Just go to the tab for the free library resources. You can print it off. You can download it as a PDF. I think I probably even have an audio sermon on the subject that you can listen to at the Amazing Facts website. There's also gobs of Amazing Facts programming, even just on YouTube now. So you can just type in Amazing Facts on YouTube, and you'll find lots of neat material. I'm sorry, friends. I'm looking at the clock, and I probably wouldn't do any other question justice tonight. We appreciate that you did call in, and I see a few are still lined up. If we didn't get your question tonight, God willing, we're going to be back on the air again next week. In the meantime, please remember, the station is entirely self-supporting. Amazing Facts Ministry, we don't receive underwriting or subsidies from organization, corporation, denomination. It's you listening that keep us on the air. Could you be one of our amazing friends? Just go to amazingfacts.org. You can donate there online. God bless. Keep us in your prayers till we talk together again next week.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Bible Answers Live. Amazing Facts believes strongly in the Great Commission given by Christ to share the wonderful news of salvation to the entire world. For over 45 years, Amazing Facts has provided millions of resources to people around the globe. We've built churches in India, held revivals in Colombia, and have given over 2 million free Bible studies in the United States alone. The offer mentioned in the program today will be sent to you absolutely free to assist you in your study of the Bible. Have you missed an episode? Well, visit our website at amazingfacts.org for the latest programs and past episodes. These programs are brought to you by caring individuals like you. They're known as our ministry partners. Please consider joining our ministry partners team. Your financial commitment will help us keep programs like this on the air so that the blessing you now receive can be shared with others. Friends, the most amazing fact of all is that God loves us, He cares for us, and He has a plan for your life. If you've missed any of our programs and would like to become a financial partner, please go to our website at amazingfacts.org. If this program has blessed you, then tell a friend. And thanks for joining our efforts today in sharing the gospel with the world.
Amazing Facts, through your faithful support, has had a major impact on some of the largest non-Christian locations in the world. Beyond the Great Wall, the printing and translation of our books and video materials are in constant motion.
在地球还没有被造之前, 天上就有了战争。
The Amazing Facts Chinese language website is now one of our most visited websites. We also translated thousands of pieces of literature for these nations. What started out as hundreds of followers is now in the hundreds of thousands. The impact of your funds invested in sharing the everlasting gospel in these foreign lands will be felt for years to come.
You know, every week we hear the most incredible stories from all over the globe of lives that are being changed and hearts that are being transformed by the power of the Word. And none of it could happen without your teamwork with this ministry. God bless you.
Deep within the pages of the Bible, stories of great heroes, heroes of great deeds, great love, and great sacrifice. But behind them is another hero, hidden in plain sight amid the shadows. He was there from the beginning, and he'll be there until the end. Discover the golden thread of a savior woven throughout the entire Bible tapestry. Shadows of Light. Seeing Jesus in All the Bible, a new book by Doug Batchelor. Get your copy today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com. Once again, to purchase your copy of Shadows of Light, call 800-538-7275.